Word of God says in Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you tuned into Memorization Monday with Mark Burns, you know that Psalm 23, 4 is, well, this week's Memorization Monday verse right there. Hey, friend, good to see you today. It is Thursday, this 18th day of March. Yeah, if you missed Monday's program or yesterday's, yesterday was a really good program with Rural King CEO Alex Melvin. If you missed any of that, go back to our website, listen to the archived program of Mark and Friends from yesterday and for the last several days as well. Great to hang out with you. 18 days here into the month of March. And okay, I'm just going to be real for a moment. Okay, just going to throw this out there. And I know I cannot be the only one. Losing that hour of sleep this past weekend is still affecting me today. The alarm has been waking me up every single morning. And that's not a typical thing because I'm a morning person. So it's been the mornings have been a little draggy for sure. So I'm still looking to get that hour back somewhere. But I do appreciate, I'm not going to lie, I do appreciate those just that daylight a little bit longer in the evening. I've been appreciating that for sure. So, hey, for Mark and Fred's today, we're going to be talking about the power of an invite. We're going to take a look at John chapter 1. You know, each and every one of us as children of God, followers of Christ, we ought to be inviting people to Jesus and really being intentional in having those gospel conversations. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to look at a pattern that we see in John chapter 1 here in just a few moments as we talk about the power of an invite. Right after this, for Mark and Friends.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
His name. his feet, plunge into day and be made complete. Glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory.
Listening to Mark and Friends today. Happy Thursday. I'm the guest host today, Joey Kroll, and heard of a story about John Harper. Now, John Harper was called to be a pastor of a church in the States, and so he was in transit from his home in the UK to the US on board the Titanic. And after the ship struck the iceberg and began to sink, he began running through the ship. Women, children, and unsaved on the lifeboats. And there were so many reports that he was sharing his faith with as many people as possible, to anyone actually who would listen to him. And so a survivor later recounted his interaction with John Harper several years later. And that survivor said, "When I was drifting alone on that awful night, the tide brought Mr. Harper on a piece of wreckage near me. Man, he said, are you saved? No, I said, I am not. And he replied, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." And this interaction happened a couple of different times, and so Harper drifted back and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." And he was saying that as he was slowly drifting into the water, perishing. And after he went down, the survivor shared, "And there alone in the night with miles of water under me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert." Wow. Dear friend, wouldn't you say that John Harper was a man on a mission? He was a mission-minded, gospel, soul-winning man of God. And every single one of us who have been redeemed by Jesus ought to be inviting people to Christ. I think when you look at God's word, there's really no out for that. That's just true right there. We need to be inviting people to Jesus. And so today, for Mark and Friends, we're going to be talking about the power of an invite. The power of an invite. If you have your Bibles, head on over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the power of an invite. And as you're heading over to John chapter 1, John the Baptist, his role was to be a witness. His role was to prepare the people for the coming Messiah. John the Baptist was the appetizer before the great meal of Christ, I'll tell you. So we come to John 1, verse 35. It says, "The next day John," that's John the Baptist, "was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked on by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. He looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter. And the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Well, friend, here on this Thursday, I want to talk about four observations here from this passage. We're talking about the power of an invite, inviting people to Jesus. First of all, we see the person of our invite. The person of our invite. Verse 36 says, "And he looked at Jesus as he walked on by. Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus is the person that we ought to be inviting people to. John pointed to Jesus and said, "Follow him. Follow this guy right here. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him." See, Jesus should be the center of all that we do. John the Baptist did not preach denomination. John the Baptist did not preach social issues. John the Baptist did not preach politics. He pointed to Jesus and said, "Follow him." Jesus is the person of our invite, dear friend. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verse 34, when Philip was witnessing to the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, if you remember, in Acts 8, 34, the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I asked, does this prophet say about himself or someone else?" He's reading the book of Isaiah, and he was asking, "Hey, who is this prophet talking about? Who is Isaiah talking about?" Verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus." He didn't preach to him church membership. He didn't preach to him denomination, politics, social issues. He preached to him about the good news of Jesus. Friend, when you and I share the gospel, we invite people to Jesus. Jesus is the person of our invite. Also, let's look at the persistence of our invite. So John tells two of his followers about Jesus. And one of them was Andrew, and Andrew tells Simon Peter, and Simon Peter finds Philip, and Philip finds Nathanael. You kind of see this pattern here, this domino effect, but when Philip, when Philip shares about the coming Messiah, about Christ, he finds a little bit of resistance. Verse 45, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Watch this. "And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?'" Now, this might be right here. I think the first resistance here in this domino effect. I mean, Nathanael is like, "Whoa, wait a second. Can anything good come from that little old town?" Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth, and he had that stigma. See, to be called a Nazarene meant to be looked down on and rejected. He's like, "Are you serious? What? Can anything good come from that little old town?" See, friend, here's the thing. You and I, when we talk about Christ, we will come across some Nathanaels. People who say, "Are you saying that if I don't accept Christ, I'm going to hell? Are you telling me that out of all these religions in the world, yours is the only true one? Church, you invite me to church, I get treated better at a local bar than I do at the church I went to." I mean, you're going to come across some naysayers. You're going to come across some of that. I heard of a story of a teacher who was a huge atheist, and she asked her second grade class if anyone was an atheist in the class. And not really knowing what atheism is, but they wanted to be like their teacher. They all raised their hands, except one little girl named Lucy. Lucy had a little spunk to her, and teacher said, "Why aren't you an atheist?" She says, "Because I'm not an atheist." Then the teacher says, "Well, what are you?" She says, "I'm a Christian." And the teacher was a little frustrated, and she asked Lucy why she was a Christian. And Lucy said, "Well, the second grade student says, I was brought up knowing and loving Jesus. My mom is a Christian. My dad is a Christian, so I'm a Christian." And the teacher says, "Well, that's no reason. What if your mom was a moron and your dad was a moron? What would that make you then?" She paused and smiled then, says Lucy, "I'd be an atheist." Fred, you're going to come across some resistance. You are. You're going to come across some resistance. You're going to come across some Nathaniels as you try to be salt and light, the hands and feet of Jesus, inviting people to him. But I love how Philip responded to Nathanael. John 1, last part of verse 46, Philip said to him, "Come and see." I love that. He didn't give up and say, "Well, this sharing Jesus stuff isn't for me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to do it anymore." No, he just said, "Well, come and see for yourself, brother." David Jeremiah said it best. He says, "People do not need to be argued into the kingdom of God." Philip simply told Nathanael, "Come and see." The role of every believer is to introduce unbelievers to Jesus, sharing his story and their stories of what he has done. Amen to that. That's the persistence of our invite. So the person of our invite is Jesus. We invite people to him. The persistence of our invite, that is, we're going to come across some Nathanaels. Keep moving forward. It's all good. But I also like to talk about the partnership of our invite. Verse 47 of John 1, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now get this, friend. When Jesus and Nathanael met, before Nathanael even uttered a word, Jesus called him an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now, he just met the man. He just met the guy. So how could he know anything about him? See, when Jesus revealed his knowledge to Nathanael, where he had been, what he was doing, this was enough to convince the man that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Now, here's what I love about this. Philip invited him. And Philip had some resistance. Philip had some resistance with Nathanael. But here's the neat thing. Philip did his part. And Jesus did his part. Friend, here's the cool thing. When we share our faith, we're doing our part. But the Holy Spirit of God is also doing his. You and I have no idea, absolutely no idea, what God is doing in the heart of that person that we're witnessing to, that we're inviting to come to church, come to Jesus, come to this outreach event. We have absolutely no idea what the Spirit of the living God is doing in that person's heart or in their life. Friend, you don't have to be a theologian to tell people about Jesus. You don't have to be a seminary professor to invite. You don't have to be a Bible teacher to invite someone to Christ. Philip just started following Christ. There was a lot that Philip did not know about Jesus. There was a lot that he did not know about Jesus. There was a lot that he didn't know, but what he did was share what he did know. Friend, isn't it amazing that one of the biggest things that holds us back from sharing Christ is the stuff we don't know? What if they're going to ask me a question I don't know? Well, join the club, okay? There's a lot of stuff that I don't know. In fact, there's probably more stuff I don't know about God than I do. And guess what? That's okay. Share what you do know and trust God to fill in the gaps. The partnership of our invite. The partnership of our invite. We do our part, but certainly God does his. You have no idea what God is doing in the heart of that other person. And finally, let's talk about the purpose of our invite. Verse 48, Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, listen to this. This is the purpose why we invite people to Christ. Verse 49, Nathanael said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. So this man started off asking, does anything good come out of Nazareth? And after being invited from Philip and this encounter with Christ, and now he's saying, Jesus is the Son of God. Friend, why do we invite people to Jesus? Why do we invite people to church? Why do churches do community Easter egg hunts and VBS events and this outreach, that outreach? It's so that people will come and know and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In closing, Fanny Crosby wrote a hymn years ago that went, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep for our erring one, lift up the fallen one, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry,
and thank you so much for letting me spend some time with you today for Mark and Friends here on this Thursday.